Welcome to the last talk of this conference in this track. Welcome, Andrew, Alexander Bokovoy from Moscow these days.
Yeah.
About when fulfilling one promise that Samba 4 has made, putting an Active Directory domain controller on your whatever Wi-Fi router.
This is actually interesting topic because I just see the Linksys Wi-Fi router right here. So we basically using the work I'll try to describe in the next half hour to put Samba 4 onto this router. I didn't make this I didn't make this before, but I did this with a different device which some of you have here, which is a Nokia 770, and I will show you some screenshots because we can't actually connect the bigger adapter to this device, but still it's actually more than 10 years for Samba in the box. And I would say that we actually celebrated last year the 10th anniversary of Samba being embedded into something. And it was Samba 1.9 release when actually some companies started to embed in Samba, first on FreeBSD, later on Linux. But the first known commercial implementations were done by Jeremy Ellison when he worked at Wistel Communications on Interjet, later bought by IBM. Then we all know the Cobalt, bought by Sun, which also used the Samba on MIPS platform. And there is a lot of implementations in these 10 years. And if we fast forward to this year, there is a lot of commercially available devices which you can use and which you can buy on the market, ranging from regular boxes with hard drives inside to devices like the Linksys Wi-Fi router, which has no hard drive inside and basically has a limited internal disk space. But people still put Samba on them, and they do that for quite different versions. They started with WAP 1.9, they do put still 2.2, 3.0, and hopefully this year or next year they will start putting Samba 4 because of all the goodies Samba 4 attempts to provide as a platform. And especially as a platform, it's quite important for the people or companies trying to differentiate themselves with Samba basic features. The current products usually have little or no modifications of Samba code. What they usually do is try to extend Samba functionality or Samba provided functionality with basically additional management tools like slick web interfaces or Windows-based management tools like Centrify does for bigger servers. Or they extend that with VFS modules like antivirus vendors do. And there is a certain amount of market opportunity for people who do small boxes to apply that to actually SOHO market and even the whole market itself, because that's much bigger. And if we look at actual functionality, that mostly file servers, print servers, like HP did and still does, basic workgroup support, and a lot of things when you just connect some external USB drive to your USB port on your Wi-Fi router and just share that space via Samba. And there are commercial commercially available toolkits like the Applianceware platform, which I was working several years ago at different at previous company, it which is now sold as a part of Intel SoHo NAS toolkit. There are also used for integrating authentication and single sign-on operations and functionality for different applications. And of course, we can use that for automatically backing up data transferred through the Samba so that people don't need to think about when they actually need to backup data, it's backup automatically. But and new devices like Nokia ones and like the wow, I hope it's not killed. Okay, the new devices like Nokia or like Linksys Wi-Fi router actually allow you to create a more innovative approaches. Innovation is kind of buzzword now, but it's definitely kind of innovation in Samba usage and even Windows networking protocols usage now. So, for example, with this kind of device, networking administrator could have a pervasive system administration tool which can be used to administrate any server on the company's network using wireless infrastructure, which has been implemented and deployed at many companies. And we could provide a certain amount of tools available on this kind of platform to make that administration available. So you don't need to bring your laptop or your server when you come to the customer or when you come to your users in a different department. You need to change something in server configuration. It doesn't need to be administration of the Samba server itself. It's just a Windows basic DCR PC service provided at the server side, and the client can be done on this kind of devices, which is promising and definitely allows you to be more mobile. With the Linksys NSLU2-like devices, you can have a very cheap Active Directory-like domain controller, a directory service at home, which is much cheaper than to use a standalone PC with a Windows 2000 server on it. And by the end of this autumn, we will have, hopefully, PlayStation 3 sales beginning. And PlayStation 3 already announced it to be sold with hard drive with Linux pre-installed. And that means that we can try to use that as an ultimate home media center, and certainly Samba could play a central role in this sort of devices. So what's actually needed to make Samba 4 or any other version of Samba, but Samba 4 allows you to make a bit more flexible this embedding to the platform. Of course, there is some requirements for device. You should have enough resources. There are some requirements by build system, and there are some requirements for integrating resulting binaries with the environment itself, with additional configuration tools and stuff which resides on the same, say, server or client. As for devices, we basically at the low point of existing hardware today. Anything with 64 megabytes of RAM, anything with frequencies of 200 megahertz of most of embedded processors could be enough. What is important is the hardware support for things which Samba uses a lot, like direct memory access, like a good context switching, because we do a lot of transfers of data. We switch a lot, particularly on Linux, from kernel space to user space by transferring data, and having a good support from the hardware on this is very important. And of course, decent peripherals, and in some cases it's quite interesting, because for example the Broadcom has a NAS on chip device, which let's see, the BCM4780P, which actually one silicon, one crystal, which runs inside embedded Linux with Samba on it, and it has everything from CPU to USB ports, everything on one crystal. And some of devices which mentioned here, like the Maxter shared storage, already use it. And it's probably the second year when it's already on the market. It's interesting to find Samba even on such a deeper layer. So, of course, the disk space is important. What we have currently in Samba 4, it requires about 40 megabytes of disk space for installation. This can be trimmed down quite significantly if needed, because of the functionality we provide, it's layered enough and can be changed so that only part of that functionality is actually used. And for example, on this device I have 128 megabyte of flash, and I use 30 megabyte for full install besides the SWOT graphics, which takes something like 9 megabyte somehow. If we look at the build system, then we need basically any operating system with decent file systems, decent POSIX support, and that includes some things like memory mapping, which is quite important to get fast TDB operations. Most of Samba 4 developers run and develop and test Samba 4 on GNU Linux platform. So therefore, GNU Linux is preferred because we do this. And of course, we have support from FreeBSD developers, and FreeBSD Samba maintainers actively work on adding features to Samba 4 to support specific things in FreeBSD, like echoes and extended attributes. And other operating systems are also usable, but take this with the grain of salt. There's a certain amount of things which needs to be fixed to be usable on any different platform. Speaking of toolchain, the GNU compilers collection is preferred. 3.4 is much better than 4.0 or any other versions because of certain optimizations introduced in GCC 4, which actually create a larger code, which is unfortunate for embedded devices. If you have access for a specific vendor toolchain for your device, then use it for getting much of possibilities of the device. For example, for IBM's Cell Broadband Engine, there is a toolkit available which is a full simulator of the environment, including the PowerPC CPU and cell extensions, which runs on regular PCs, and you can use that basically for direct development of PowerPC-based applications or specific cell applications. The CPU transparency is an interesting feature which is very important when you're doing a cross-compilation. CPU transparency is something which allows you to run a build process on a regular PC, but have all the configuration small programs executed by ConfigureScript actually run on actual device transparently. Currently, it's available in the Scratchbox environment, which was sponsored by Nokia for development of Nokia 770 and other systems. But it provides the most accurate result you can get in, out of cross-compilation. And of course, we support Scratchbox and generally recommend it if you're working on ARM platform. Given the changes in the Samba 4 build system, we now have a modular design, and every module in Samba 4 actually can be tracked down with public and private dependencies, and it can have their specific dependencies within Samba source code, with the outside Samba source code, and it allows us to make binaries or libraries which are linked only to the parts of the code which is actually used. In Samba 3, you have no other chance than link everything, because, for example, a printing infrastructure and other components are so interwoven so that you can't separate them in libraries. It would require a certain significant amount to rewrite that code. Basically, we have right now static libraries support working, and shared libraries work to some extent. And on this Nokia device, I use a shared libraries build, but the current situation is if we turn on shared libraries, everything becomes a shared library. And we have something like 110 shared libraries installed, which is quite a big amount, but some of them can be combined together to make a less number of libraries. We also use, contrary to Samba 3, which use it only autoconf, make, we also use a Perl and depend on Perl significantly, because the build system itself is written in Perl. It generates a make file, which is later run, and also the idle file compiler is written in Perl. And the two other programs which is also generated code in Samba 4 are come from Heimdall, and these programs are C-based, and it's important. I will show why. There are some things which actually make harder to do a cross-compilation, and one of them is macroses, which check availability of certain functions or functionality available on the platform. One of them is AC try run, which tries to compile and run program, and using results of that run, it decides whether functionality is available or not, because there is a lot of differences in POSIX support on different platforms, even if you have the same operating system running on different hardware. You can have deviations in actual implementation of POSIX functionality. We have to run in certain cases these tests on the host machine to actually find out if it's proper supported functionality or not, if it's needed to be replaced or not. And in case of cross-compilation, this basically fails, because we can't run the test on a host machine, because the target machine will have a different architecture, and we're actually configuring for a target machine. So this is where CPU transparency comes in. This is where it really helps. The Scratchbox environment helps to actually automate this with either use of real device, when you need to set up to, well, you need to set up a networking, and use NFS shared storage to actually execute programs there. And another approach is to use emulator. The Scratchbox uses QEMU for ARM architecture, and it runs transparently those programs in QEMU. Sometimes, however, you could get a different result. But in most cases, it's more or less okay. In case where there is no way to determine by running a program whether this feature is supported or not, then you have to, you as a developer have to decide what to do in this case. And we also have those two C-based generators in Heimdall code, which ASM1 compile and compile.at, which create some C code which was later compiled by during the compilation process. So the Samba 4 enjoys all of these red crosses. So it's almost impossible to actually cross-compile Samba properly. So how to remove those red crosses? And this is the work we did in last half a year, I would say. The simplest way is to use a native build. So if your device is fast enough to run or have enough memory to run actual toolchain natively, then you can use it. Of course, it's slow because most of those devices are quite underpowered. But, for example, the Applianceware was actually built natively on Xscale's CPUs, and all the RPMs process were running on the Xscale CPUs. And we had a lot of challenge there with 9 hours for glibc, 3 hours for general Samba build, something like 4 hours for Java Micro Edition build, something like that. It's fun. It's a lot of gray hairs and stuff like that. But it produces the best result you can get out of the platform. Especially it's possible for Intel-based single-board computers, which are a lot used in the embedded environments. For ARM targets, now Scratchbox is available. Since last year, it's more or less stable. And can be used for Cell and PowerPC. You can use the full system simulator provided by IBM and Barcelona Supercomputer Center. So there are a certain amount of possibilities for native builds. But if nothing helps, the cross-compilation could be fixed. And it's actually fixed in the current Samba 4 subversion. And what we need to do is to use the host-based code generates built from Heimdall source. And for that, we need to configure Samba for a host, for the host system, and then copy those binaries into the cross-compilation directory tree into the binary, so that make could think that these are actually available and can run them as a host binaries. There are some nuances how to do this, but we are working on making it more and more smooth process. So currently we have support for out of tree build. When you have a source tree and actual compilation is done in a different tree which references the sources, and then you can copy those binaries. For the AC try run macro, there is one way to handle it. Some time ago, there was a third argument added to AC try run because a lot of embedded developers were complaining about this macro. And the third argument basically says what to do if we are running in cross-compilation environment. And in most cases, if you are not specifying the third argument, the M4 macro easy try run basically says, I don't support the cross-compile environment and stops the configuration process. So if you're a smart developer, then you put third argument, which just notes that we are actually running a cross-compilation environment, but not stops the configuration process. If we actually use autoconf cache, a configure cache, then the developer could specify values for these particular tests, because developer has better knowledge about embedded platform than a configure is. And basically you have to build that sort of test results on your system one by one, then put that into the configure cache, defining the environmental variables, and then run Samba configuration. And it should work. Samba 4 can be stripped down or bloated depending on what functionality you need. And as it's not a single program, besides that we actually have a single daemon performing a different operations, it's still not a monolith code block. Yeah. And this includes subsystems, libraries, modules, and binaries, and each component links against the only blocks which it actually requires. So the build system takes care of it. And each binary can be made small as much as possible if you need. Sometimes you need to do a bit more work because this is a work in progress. This is a platform, not a product, as Jerry said yesterday. But it allows you much more freedom and much more flexibility to actually develop fine-grained and fine-tuned applications. So we have 100 libraries and 90 modules right now. It's quite a big amount. So obligatory demo. This is a Samba 4 register editor written in GTK+, running in Scratchbox for MAMA platform, which is a development kit for Nokia 770. This is the same registry editor running on a real device. There's another dialog in it. I didn't make any modification to Samba code. So basically, it runs as is on the Linux system and on this Linux system. But of course, I can make changes to accommodate the user interface of Nokia. For example, this file menu bar actually should be under the downside triangle on the platform, and the dialogs should be organized a bit different. But that's a task for future. And this is a sample session of SMBD running actually on the device, and on the same device we try to access it with SMB client as anonymous user, and we see two shares defined, the basic shares, IPC and admin. And I'm not joking, this is actual ARM TI OMAP 1510 CPU. Any questions?
Is Samba 4 faster than Samba 3 on such an embedded device?
It depends on what kind of device you have. Okay. For example, on this device there was no Samba 3, so I can't compare. On PowerPC boxes, like the Lassie Ethernet mini disk, on MIPS based boxes like Linksys, it should be a bit faster because of internal organization and because of the architecture.
As Lars made us aware, they are already done in the other track. Any more questions? In that case, we would give them a chance to come into us. And thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Last note, almost all of this code is already in Samba Subversion. So you can check out and play with it. There are some raw cases, like some of AC Drive run tests which need a better detection of cross-compilation. But we're intending to fix that. And any help is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, who of you has been to another Samba XP conference so far? Anybody? Okay. Nobody. You know what comes now? We're going to have a 10-minute break or so, and then we will have a little general question and answer session with all Samba team members up here. And the remaining ones are free to whatever answer questions, torture us on general topics. So I think there's still some coffee outside. And I would like, everybody from the Samba team to show up here at 5. And everybody else who is interested to torture us, just show up again. Okay.